come back. We're living in a world in which there's that enemy out there, that virus that's sitting there. These folks are sitting here, they have their masks on, keeping them safe. But there's a lot of troubling things out there in our world today. So Peter's letter that was meant to go to the churches then is a letter that fits with us today. Because in their world, how are they to be the church? Just like we ask that same question in our world, how are we to be the church? This section of Peter that I read is iconic. It's an epic part of this letter. In other words, you know, when you watch your Star Wars movie and you see that first rolling out, this is that part of Peter's letter that rolls out and you feel like I'm reading something amazing, something that transcends just mere words. And the reason why it transcends, in this section, he highlights who are we in Christ. And he gives us four separate thoughts as to how we are, who we are in Christ. He starts off with the idea that our inheritance in Jesus Christ means that we are four separate entities. We are a chosen race. God chose us. God sends that message out to everybody. Come, be part of the incredible journey with Jesus Christ. And when we choose it, we're part of that new race. And I don't mean a race that runs to the end. I mean a race in which we are focused. We, as a people, joining together to demonstrate the incredible nature of who God is. We are a royal priesthood. We are to minister to each other. So this race that we're on, this race that we are, means that we minister to each other. That's part of the beauty of the church. We do it here, and we do it even when you can't come here. We minister to you. And we do so not because it's the right thing to do, but that's part of it. We do it because we've been called by the King of all kings. The Lord above all lords. That's what makes us a royal priesthood. Because we do it to serve God. You realize as we serve God, we do the best way of doing that when we serve others. When we serve others, we're really serving God. That's the power of our priesthood. We're called to do that in the name of the Almighty King. We are a holy nation. When we do our royal priesthood items, we are actually set apart. We're set apart to do God's work. We're set apart to be holy in the sense that we're doing what God's asked us to do, which is minister to others, love others. And we do that because we're a nation. We're a kingdom. If we have a king on the throne and we serve that king, that means we're part of this nation. And so we are a holy nation. And the way we do that is because we belong to God. We're God's own. God's own possession. God has every right to tell us what to do, because he died for us. He has every right to ask us to do these incredible things because he possesses us. His love is so great that it brought us in. Sin and all, faults and all, problems and all were brought in. And we become a holy nation, royally serving God as priests. We're on this incredible journey being a chosen race. As a result of that, we reach out and we seek those who are hurting, so that we can bind up the wounds. We go after and we find out those who are broken so we can bring them wholeness. We share the message and those who listen then become part of this race, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, God's own possession. We are the healing agents in this world. That's what God called us to do. Through the cross, our sins healed. Through the cross, we've received God's love. We then take that healing, we take that love out into the world, and we shine with the light of God's love. Now, I've preached on this before a whole sermon, but I want to get to the how. I gave you who we are. Now I want to get to the how we get there. How do we get to this? God's own race, God's own possession, holy nation, royal priesthood. How do we get there? Well, the cross is the door that's open. Because when we realize the cross is for us, that forgiveness is for us. We enter into all of this. But there's certain things we have to leave behind in order to be a holy nation. There are certain things we have to forsake in order to be a royal priesthood. Our scripture, Matthew, can you pull that back to the scripture? There you go, right there. On this, I always use the New American Standard to work on sermons. This is the New Revised. You see what it says, the first part. says rid ourselves. This is how Peter has talked about what to do. We rid ourselves of, and then he gives us this long batch of things. Let me give it to you. Rid ourselves, or put away, all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander. And like newborn children, newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that we may grow into our salvation. This word that here is translated rid, and in my New American Standard, put away, is an action word. It means we do it. It's our responsibility. We're to get rid of this thing that we translate as malice or evil thoughts or hatred. We don't just grit our teeth. We don't just say, I'm going to do it on my own and get rid of it. No. God's given us a way to do that. I Googled, how do you get rid of your malice? Actually, nothing came up, because malice is not a modern-day word. I mean, how many times this last week have you said, boy, I've seen lots of malice towards others? Probably zero times, right? But you might have used the word hate. And malice and hate have the same general base word in the Greek. So then I Googled, how do you get rid of hatred? How do you get rid of those feelings of hate? In our modern day times, here's what came up. First off, go into a quiet place and put on your essential oils and use aromatherapy. And I thought, oh my goodness, my allergy attack is right in my head. My nose stopped up thinking of it. The other people I passed by in a store, and even the mask on, I'm like, oh my goodness, that perfume's applied 10 times over. Oh my goodness, whether male or female, I'm like, okay. So for me, I'm like, well, that's not going to work for me. So the next one is exercise. That's a good way, by the way. I suggest that for people who have emotional frailty. I suggest exercise. It releases a lot of incredible things inside your body. A lot of items are released when you exercise, but not everybody can exercise. My favorite was this next one. Put yourself into a timeout. So you're feeling hatred. The anger's risen to a massive level, and you're going to take yourself and put yourself into a timeout. Oh, if only we could do that, right? Actually, our world would be better instead of people in their hatred moment going, I'm going to Facebook. And all that stuff, off to Facebook. Okay, wouldn't it be nice if they instead of said, you know what, I'm going to unplug for a moment. I'm going to time myself out. It's easier said than done, right? The last one, this one I have to get, is the laugh. Oh, if only we had more laughter. You know, I love to be able to laugh. That's why I give you a joke each and every week. In fact, today you're getting two sets of jokes. But laughter is very curative. It has an amazing way of healing us. Because laughter does come from God. Each of these modern day therapies, the problem with them is they just cover up. They put a band-aid on the problem. They don't deal with the gushing wound. They don't go to the core. Why is it there? Why are those feelings present? The Bible is much like psychology. I hope you all realize that. There's so much psychology in the Bible. That's why it resonated with me as I'm going through my psychology degree and deeper in my studies. I'm like, wow, these two do mesh. They mesh well together. Because in psychology, like the Bible, if you can name the problem, you're already on the way to dealing with it and solving it. The problem in our world today, we don't know where these feelings come from. We haven't named them. We can't overcome them. In psychology, the big key, if you can identify what is the core, why do I have these emotions that run amok? Why do I have these problems inside of me? Why do I do the things I very hate to do? Okay? Once we're able to name that, then we are able to deal with it. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible deals with it in a very powerful way. This is the core of who we are. The root cause of all of this is the fact that we're sinners. That we have pride. The pride that I'm right, and the other person's wrong. The pride that my opinion is more important than your opinion. The pride that says, my words are going to change the world. The Bible says the great solution This is the how we're able to put aside all these things, our malice, our hypocrisy, our envy. This is how we can put aside our slander, our deceit. And you know what the answer is? Well, this is kind of interesting. Peter identifies the answer as milk. I brought some milk in today. I thank Amanda for putting water in each and every week. Thank you, Amanda. But today, we're drinking milk. What a strange solution, right? Like, wait a second, Pastor Mark. This is kind of weird. Milk is the answer to all those things that were put aside? Well, let me give a couple milk tips first. Why did the farmer only raise brown cows? You know the answer to this. He went and chopped the milk. Yes, very good. All right, now, where did the Russians get their milk? I'd be impressed if you knew this one. From lost cows. Good. Good, thank you. Why don't cows have any money? Because they always get milk dry. And the last one, four, because there's four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west, okay? What does an invisible man drink? He drinks evaporated milk. Right? Okay, yeah, all right. So what does milk do for us? I also looked this up. Milk has some incredible properties. Great benefit. You get vitamin D from milk. Milk also provides calcium. It builds your teeth. And by the way, if you put chocolate in it or put it in a milkshake, it's incredible. Milk also provides protein and prevents weight loss. Not weight, weight gain. Sorry, weight gain. I read it wrong. It allows you to lose weight. Now you're like, what? After all, if you drink milk, you're not going to eat it again anymore. Okay? So it's an interesting thing. So how does this fit with us? Remember, for Peter, milk is a metaphor. It's a picture of something bigger. We all understand babies drink milk. We all understand that. We all understand that milk is very good for us, powerful for us. We give it to babies so babies can grow, so their bones can be stronger, so their teeth can develop. So what the milk does is, it's the picture of how we're to deal with the world today. As we start into our walk with Jesus Christ, we drink milk. So one of the problems we have is that many people, whenever they start their Christian journey, they want to go into the big, hard questions. Instead of dealing with the basics, like what does the cross mean? Who am I as a sinner? How can I serve the world? When I get into an elevator, when I used to anyway, and people would find out I was a minister, you know, where are these ties that express my faith? Well, they don't ask me a simple question like, tell me about Jesus. No, they ask me the real hard questions, which many believers, when they first start the journey, try and grab onto. And then it really kind of ruins their faith. Hard questions like, what happens if the people have never heard about Jesus? You know, in the deepest darkness of Africa, where do they go? And the other question oftentimes get, how can a loving God allow evil in the world? Now, I have answers to this. That's a totally different subject. Okay, if you want Google, I'll send it. Or no, send me a Facebook post, I'll send you the answers. But realize, we start off at a very basic level. To put aside all that hatred. How do we do it? We drink milk. And I don't mean milk like here, though this is really good. Actually, the best place to have milk is in a cup of tea. So I'm going to say that to you. But what milk does, as we drink of the Word of God, this is a critical piece. You come here, we've studied the Scripture. As you drink of the Word of God, it does build your bones. In other words, you now have a structure of which to deal with life. Previous to this, you're trying to grab on, how do I understand life? And you're trying to, does this work? Well, it works for now, and it doesn't work later. With the ability to drink the milk of the Word, we have a framework as to how we can approach the world. It has yet to fail. This framework, the more you drink in the Word of God, the bigger the framework and the stronger the framework. It is like pouring calcium into someone who needs it. Our bones become stronger. The more you drink milk, the milk of the Word of God, is that now you can bite off bigger chunks. You know, babies don't have teeth, and their teeth are really small. They can't take off the big bites. But the more you drink the Word of God, then you can begin to understand what do happen to people who don't know Jesus. What happened to everyone before the cross? Those really hard hard questions. The more you drink milk of the Word of God, the easier it is to understand them. You can wipe that off. Milk also adds protein. The milk of the Word of God adds protein. As you drink it, you're stronger for the day. As you ingest God's Word, as you come to worship, guess what happens? Your week is better. There was a cartoon out there. A week without worship and the person is like this. A week with worship and they're ready to go. That is so true. When we make worship a priority, we're able to face the dilemmas. And there are many out there today, right? The dilemmas of our world today. And finally, it prevents weight gain. You're thinking, what? It's true, it does. Unless you're drinking milkshakes to get your milk in. But then, anyway. But milk prevents weight gain in the Word of God. You're not going to add on all these odd thoughts and make your theology weighty and strange and hard to deal with. But you can't make it through a day because you can't figure out, how do I turn? What do I do? When you drink the Word of God, you get rid of all these thoughts, these theological thoughts that sit out there that are contrary to the Bible. And there are many. That's why we drink milk. It provides you with the ability to function in this world today. That's what Peter was telling us. He didn't just say, put aside all these things of malice and envy and slander and deceit and hypocrisy. He didn't say, just put aside by gritting your teeth. He says, I'm giving you a plan. Drink your milk. Do it together. Because the power of the assembled body is that we hold each other accountable. And when we join together, and a person said something that's way out there in love, we bring them back. Using scripture, using the understanding of we're in this together, by loving another person, remember, we really are loving God. Let's go to God. Thank you, God, for the amazing way our lives have been touched by you. Thank you for Jesus. He's the one who demonstrates that a life grounded in knowledge of Scripture, grounded in the fellowship of the believers, what a powerful moment that is. How you can keep on the straight and narrow, on this pathway back to you. We praise you, Lord God, that you call us to be more than what we really are. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, because we belong to you. We thank you for that, Lord God. And thank you for Jesus, who makes all this possible. Through his death and resurrection, we can be yours. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.